Podcast with Jake and Ash.
Welcome to the Media Guide, your one-stop shop for all things entertainment, or at least the things that we find entertaining. For instance, movies that are horrible.
Or beer openers in the shape of Thor's hammer.
That's right. It's a little tiny hammer. It would be perfect for Throg, who we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
So as I was saying before I was interrupted by bottle opener, this week, first off, my name's Ashton.
Hi, you made me say hi last time. It weirded me out. You never let me say hi, well, and then now I'm supposed to acknowledge my existence.
Well, the funny thing is you did it, but the mic cut out, so you sounded like a crazy robot. So I made you acknowledge your existence twice.
Oh, wonderful.
That's great. Perfect. Anyway, we talk about movies, TVs, video games, all that kind of stuff, but about movies that reviewers such as Rotten Tomatoes deemed bombs. These are movies that are terrible, garbage, less than 10%.
Yeah, more than bombs, like just flat out awful, yeah. Awful films. According, most of their counterparts in this range are, in fact, terrible, terrible films. We are going to defend some of them.
We are going to talk about movies that we actually like a little bit. Enough.
Yeah.
I don't think I found a single one like
that I actually like, but I wouldn't say they're...
I found one that I
wouldn't
like.
Say they're that bad. They're not...
No, I found one that I actually...
They're
like.
Not 4% bad. More...
No, they're not 0%
more than
bad
96%
of,
of the people should have not hated this movie.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, with movie reviews... Fantastic Four is a great example of this. There's a snowball effect, and one person hears from 10 other people that a movie's bad. You got a preconceived notion. And then we, the viewers, who are listening to reviews sometimes, we hear that from apparent professionals, and so we think a movie's bad. But sometimes, you know, you find a diamond in the rough. And by diamond, I mean a cheap piece of jewelry you get in a vending machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Huh. That's what we're talking about. I think the only rules we had for this were we wanted to try to stay around the 5% range. I have to admit I went up I think as high as 10.
I think the highest I went, well, kind of, most of them I stuck around 6. I have some others that kind of was a trickle effect that I will discuss later, but it'll all make sense.
That's fine with me. I normally start out the news, so do you want to start this out?
Sure. I'm going to start with ones that I don't actually care that much about, and then we'll lead into the good ones.
Okay.
It'll be dramatic effect.
All right. Whoa.
Dunstan Checks In.
Is that the movie about the monkey?
It's like a monkey that lived in a hotel. I remember nothing about this film. As a child, I think I liked it.
I think you liked it.
I think. We'll go with yes.
We'll go yes. I think I probably maybe liked it.
Yeah, it was 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's
okay,
pretty bad.
What year did that come out?
Yep.
You don't know?
No, I didn't write years. Why are you doing this to me? 1994. I don't know. Let me look it up.
It was a good year.
Ugh, you're ruining me.
Okay, well, how about this for fun?
Hotel. 1996, starring Jason Alexander.
Really?
Yes.
As in?
And the kid from the Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's the kid from the Santa Claus is definitely in it.
Yeah, and Faye Dunaway and Rupert Everett.
Can you remember why you don't hate it?
Do I remember why I don't hate it? I don't know. Probably because it was a movie about a monkey that played with a kid, and I was a big fan of monkeys as a child.
And you wanted to live in a hotel?
Probably.
Sounded so you're cool. Really big on that, like, Disney show, Zack and Cody?
Yeah. Oh, I think that we saw one of the either Zack or Cody when we were in New York in April on the street.
Really?
I think. Joey said,
was he 250 pounds?
No, he was normal size. Skinny.
Then it was one of the other ones.
I don't know. Joey told me it was...
You know, those are the kids from Big Dad.
Yeah. Or
not Big...
My friend...
Is it Big Daddy?
Yeah, Big Daddy. My friend told me it was one of the Sprouse twins, but I don't know. I'm not buying it, but he said it was, so...
It could have been any kid with a bowl cut.
No, they don't have bowl cuts anymore. They're all stylish and shit.
Oh, excuse me.
They're in, like, college and stuff.
Are you serious?
I think they're at, like, NYU now.
Oh, well, good for them.
You know that we're really
also old. Depresses me that we're so old. That makes me so sad. All right, well, that's a good start. You know, movie about a monkey in a hotel.
Yep.
Probably not as bad as 6%, let's be honest. I'm going to go on to a movie that came out in 2008.
Okay.
And you should remember it for the same reasons I do. Do you remember the movie Strange Wilderness?
Fuck, man. That was, yeah, that's on my list.
Good.
2% on Rotten Tomatoes. I liked that movie.
I did too.
I remember laughing in the theater. And the very end when he's doing the with the shark. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's quality comedy.
That's in the trailer. And our friend Ross cried during that part.
Maybe that's why it was so funny.
Exactly. Like, all right, here's why I bring this one up. Because it is done by the Happy Madison people. So, although they made great movies in the past, they're most recently known for, like, Grown-Ups, mm-hmm. Jack and Jill. I mean, these are terrible movies that also were prominently featured in these, like, bottom-tier bomb Rotten Tomatoes.
But they also made, I don't think Strange... They also made Grandma's Boy, which is also, like, 30%. And I liked Grandma's Boy a lot.
I thought Strange Wilderness was just under that. Like, honestly, I don't think it's in the same realm at all as Jack and Jill.
I don't either. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I remember sitting in the theater with all you guys, and I don't think, even in the rest of the theater, I don't think there was a lack of laughter.
No. And that might say something about the audiences that go see these movies, and maybe we got tricked, but, I mean, the trailer was great. Justin Long is, like, a weird stoner in the movie. It's got Jonah Hill in the early Jonah Hill fat days.
Wasn't Bill Hader in it? Am I wrong about that? I might be making stuff up.
You might be wrong on that one, but
we're gonna find out.
Steve Zahn's the main guy.
Yeah,
I just thought it wasn't as bad as the stuff it's around. So
yeah, it definitely wasn't.
So I'd recommend. I mean, as far as bombs go, I'd recommend seeing it.
Yeah, the guy from Grandma's Boy's in it.
Well, that guy's in every single
Farva movie. From Super Troopers was in it.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Dante from Grandma's Boy was in it. Yeah. It's pretty much the Happy Madison crew for the most part. But
which is funny because most of the Happy Madison films are him trying to go to, like, exotic locations and getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
And just hanging out with his friends.
Well, Sandler was not in this, so.
Yeah, he's not in it. So everybody was relegated to having to hang out in the woods and look for Bigfoot. So that kind of sucks.
Right.
But I thought Steve Zahn was good in it. So as far as bombs go, I don't think this is one of them.
I don't either. I don't. I mean, was it the best movie ever? No, but it's...
Oh, absolutely not.
More than 98% of critics reviewing this should have not hated it. I don't know.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So, okay. My next one, I don't know why I put this on my list, because I don't really care about the movie. I don't really want to spend time defending it, but Paranoia has Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman, and Liam Hemsworth. Came out a couple years ago.
That's the younger Hemsworth?
Yes. It's not, like, good, but, like, it was 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. It wasn't that bad.
Can you explain it a little bit, especially to me, because I have no idea what you're talking about?
It's about, like, kind of corporate espionage, I guess, where Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford are, like, rivals of tech companies or something, and they're both assholes. It's definitely grumpy Harrison Ford. It's not good, so I guess I would have given it a rotten review.
How many percents would you give it?
It's 6%, so, like, I mean... It's weird saying, oh, it's better than 6%, but really that's just saying 94% of the people that watched it probably feel the same way that I do about it. thinking it's not okay. good, but it's not like the worst movie ever. But that still gives it a 6% rating. So,
do you remember that Harrison Ford movie with Brendan Fraser?
Harrison Ford movie with Brendan Fraser.
It has to do with cancer, and I don't. Did it make it to the theaters, or was it like a
George of the Jungle? Drama? Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Everybody remembers that Harrison Ford was in George of the Jungle. Mm-hmm. He was the rival anchor. Is there a newscast in that? I don't remember what that movie's about.
I don't. It's about George of the Jungle, strong as he can.
All I remember was when he got the coffee beans and he went Jabba 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 Jabba. I was like, I watched that like 50 times in a row because it made me laugh so hard. And then his girl comes back and he's like, we need to get more coffee. Let's go get coffee right now.
It's Leslie Mann, man.
Sorry, Leslie Mann. His Leslie Mann comes back.
Some fucking French toast. Yeah.
Yeah, so do you
Paranoia any, was like a bad example to put on this because I didn't actually like it, but I didn't hate it.
So you just are defending it on principle that it shouldn't be this low.
Yeah, like it wasn't. If you see 6% and you've never seen this movie and know nothing about it, you're not going to watch this movie.
I'm not watching it.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it unless you're just bored out of your mind and it comes on like TBS or something. Which you don't get anyway.
Yeah, exactly. First off, that's a resounding
it sounds like something maybe my mom would watch on a movie channel and not hate it, you know?
I guess.
I don't know. This was a terrible example. Harrison Ford okay, in a bad movie. 6%'s fine. Let's move on. This was a terrible example.
Okay, let's go. Let's change the topic to movies that are Rotten Tomato bombs that are bombs.
You told me that the parameters were less than 5%. Do you know how hard it is to find movies?
I know. I'm sorry. I said earlier today, what did we agree on? Was it 5 or 10? And I was hoping you said 10 because you're right. The bottom of the barrel are really bad. But I found one that is a terrible movie, but I don't hate it this much. Okay. Do you remember the Eddie Murphy classic, The Adventurers, plural, of Pluto Nash?
I almost put that on my list, but I did not.
It's not horrible. It's not the worst movie ever. It's ridiculous. It's
0%, wasn't it?
I have 5%.
Oh, 5, okay. Yeah.
All I know is it's like the number, it's top three at least, maybe number one movie for lost money from their budget.
Yeah.
Like it cost millions to make, which is incredible because it looks like complete garbage.
I feel like movies that lose a lot of money get lower ratings than. Okay, here's the thing that I think influences a lot of these reviews is if it's a movie with high expectations. So a movie, Eddie Murphy, pretty good cast, very large budget. That movie has high expectations before it comes out. So if they start hearing bad things before it comes out, it's going to have all these preconceived notions that, oh, that didn't live up to the hype. And then all of a sudden you get a 5%, even though it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, let's look at this cast just for fun. Eddie Murphy in his prime, maybe towards the end of his prime.
Yeah, it was definitely Rosario Dawson. End of his prime. This might have ended his prime.
Yeah, my his prime subscription was ended. Randy Quaid, say what you will. Mm-hmm. Jay Moore, Luis Guzman. It's like for this kind of movie, it's not a bad cast. What you get is Randy Quaid is a crazy like 8 foot tall robot who's bald. You get Eddie Murphy who's trying his best to be Han Solo. You get Jay Moore in a kilt for some reason at the beginning. I mean, the movie is definitely a mess, but
you remember way more about this movie than I do.
That's because I didn't hate it.
I do remember as a kid, because it came out, we were kids when it came out. And I think that's going to be a common denominator in a lot of these that we pick, was that true. We were kids when we saw them. But I remember watching it with my dad, and I kind of liked it as a kid. So I almost put that on my list, but I didn't remember. Well, I should have just put it on here because I don't remember enough about most of these movies to really defend them. So.
I just remember that a lot of Eddie Murphy stuff came out after this, and I hated. I think he just went off the deep end on a lot of. And I mean, they're kidsy. This one's not 100% geared to kids if you really look back at it. There's some like kind of weird stuff that happened.
Or whatever. I think it was geared for adults, and I think that's probably why it was so unsuccessful. If it was a kid's movie, it probably would have been received a lot better.
Yeah, it had the crazy trope of there are two Eddie Murphys that are fighting each other and you have to pick the right one. That's always great.
Expectations play a very large role in movie reviews.
Did you have, I mean, we were younger, as we said, but I can't imagine having any expectations for this.
I mean, as a kid, if I saw, I mean, what did I see? I don't know what I'd seen Eddie Murphy in. I feel like I had seen like Nutty Professor or something at this point or whatever.
Yeah, I wish I could see, like, this is 2002, so I'm trying to remember what came out around then. I think I trusted Eddie Murphy at this part of his career.
I think I at least knew who he was, and I knew that he was supposed to be funny. And then it took place in space, which I love space, so, or did.
Yeah.
I guess I still do.
I did love space.
Yeah.
What's changed your mind on that?
I don't know.
Oh, man, I am way off on this. Okay, so Shrek had come out before this.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's why. I mean, that was probably...
Nutty Professor had come out before this. Mulan had come out before this. Dr. Dolittle had come out before this. So, let's be honest. Now I'm going to look at what came out after. These are all these movies
that I've seen that I liked. That...
Yeah. So, after we get I Spy, bad. Daddy Daycare, not great. The Haunted Mansion, pretty bad. You do get Shrek 2, but I mean, that's not his doing, really.
I like Shrek 2.
No, I'm just saying, it's not like he didn't maybe.
Yeah.
You get Norbit, Meet Dave.
I don't even know what some of these movies are.
I think Meet Dave is when he's like, it's kind of like, if you think about it, the precursor to what's the latest? Inside Out? Is that the latest Pixar movie?
Yeah,
I think there's like a miniature Eddie Murphy that's in Eddie Murphy's head. I think that's what that movie's about. Either way, the point is, sure. I think this was the beginning of the end for him. So as you said earlier, this was his peak.
No, that's what I was saying. It ended his peak.
Yeah, you're right on that. But again, it's not the worst movie ever. I think it's fun. I have a movie later on that's just, you have to watch it in its ridiculousness. I don't think this one is quite there. And I definitely don't think it's 5%. So yeah,
okay, that's fair.
You're up.
Okay, let's go with Supercross. Did you ever see that?
I think so. Explain it to me, because I have another movie in my head.
It's exactly
think...
what it sounds like. It's about these
so it's guys about that Jesus.
Yep. Jesus Christ, Supercross.
So now, what is it about? Because there's another movie I'm thinking about, but I think it's a Disney original movie that was called Motocross. Exactly, that's what I thought. It's didn't know if it was
similar,
the same.
But it's different. It's about these two brothers that are into motocross, and I think like one of them is actually like better at it, but the one that's not quite as good gets a big sponsorship or something. But he's basically there to just kind of help their main guy win races. And then the brother that was actually better gets hurt or something. But, like, he gets kind of jealous, and he tries to do it, like, independently, and I don't know.
Do you know what you're describing right now?
A lot of movies.
Talladega Nights.
Yeah, but it's not
I mean it. If I replayed that, I know it's not a comedy, but I'm saying if I replayed what you just described, it's the exact same movie. He's there to help win races. And the other guy gets hurt, and the other guy is actually better and jealous. I mean, it's perfect.
It's similar.
And yeah, not as good.
It's not a great movie, but it got a 6%. I thought it was better than that. I didn't hate it. And I've watched it multiple times, just like on TV, and I was bored, and I was like, I'll just watch this.
What? It's not a Disney movie though, right? I know I'm thinking about
it. No, it was like PG-13 or something.
Okay.
There's hot women in scandalous clothes that I guess appear at Supercross events or whatever.
Well, I'll admit, my parents were really lucky to get super passes for a NASCAR event with Red Bull. And they were in the pit area with Red Bull. And my dad sent me pictures, and I would love to see how red his face was from my mom slapping him, of just these women. We're at a NASCAR event, and they're just like dressed in bikinis and wearing Red Bull advertisements, and he's like, this is great, you're missing out, Ashton. I'm like, yes, yes, I am missing out, clearly. Enjoy the couch, Dad.
That's funny. Yeah, no, it has Mike Vogel in it, and the other guy's been in a few things. I can't remember what they are off the top of my head, but if you Googled them, you would recognize him.
Okay.
But yeah, it wasn't the worst movie ever. 6%, I think, is a little harsh.
That's fair.
I think that more than 6% of people watching this movie should have liked it.
Do you think that people were comparing it to Motocross by Disney original movies?
No, I think they were just like, eh, this movie's bland. I mean, there's not a lot to it. The story's not super great. It's not original, and the drama in it, nothing. It's everything's very generic about it, and I think that's what it is. No one, probably not enough people watch and were like, oh, that was a good movie.
Okay.
And instead of giving it a ripe, oh, that movie was okay, they give it a rotten, that movie was okay.
I got
probably you. Is what happened.
Well, for my next one, I'm going to give you a choice, the listener, which is you, Jake, because you're the only yes. one who can respond in live time. Do you want me to go to the one that I will vehemently defend, or one that's kind of ridiculous, but it was fun?
Do whichever one. I do know
that is horrible.
do the one that you'll defend.
Okay. So this is a movie that I genuinely like. I'd see it again. I'd recommend it. And you can tell me I'm 100% wrong, and I'll fight you till we're both tired of fighting. Jim Carrey as a serious actor. This is not the Spotless Mind one. This is the one where he's obsessed with a certain number. You remember this movie?
No, I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about.
The number 23. Can you guess what it got on Rotten Tomatoes?
23.
That's right. You took my joke. No, the number 23 with Jim Carrey, you've never seen?
No, I have not.
That's a shame. It is. Let me see what it is on Rotten Tomatoes.
How did you not write down your scores? Come on, be a professional, dude.
Shut up.
You're ruining everything.
I wrote down. No. Wait. Stop. Wait for what I wrote down. I did write down that it got 23%, and then I wrote little ha ha's next to it. So I think it got 7%. So it was a little above our mark, but it was low enough. I mean, I thought it should be at least in the 50s because it is a Jim Carrey trying to be serious movie, which doesn't always stick. And if you watch the movie, he even starts out as Jim Carrey, like he's the joking guy, and he, you know, makes funny faces and voices, and it's great. And then he just degrades into this psychopath, which maybe that's the problem. Maybe you go into the movie thinking it's a Jim Carrey movie, and then you're quickly...
I remember this movie coming out.
Tricked.
I remember the trailer. I don't think anyone went into this movie thinking it was going to be a funny movie, so...
Okay.
So
not like funny people.
I like Jim Carrey as a serious actor. He's fantastic in Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
And Truman Show. I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out sometime. But
it's got an 8%, which I really do mean is so low. And you can see the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's 56%, which is much closer to what I thought it would be. The movie is definitely a psychological thriller. It has a very good ending, in my opinion. The one thing I find a little, I don't know, it's a little contrived is the whole idea of everything is tied to the number 23, but that's the premise of the movie. You can't really get away from it. So you do have to kind of question, like, whose role was it in the creative department to actually come up with all these things equaling 23? That must have been a pain in the ass. But I thought Jim Carrey delivered. I thought he was a good actor in the movie. I thought the way there's a story within a story, like he's reading a book about a guy who is going crazy, and then he eventually goes crazy himself, and it's a really cool, you know, dynamic story, I think. Now, I will admit I haven't seen it in about 5 years, so if I watch it again, maybe I'll pick up on all the flaws that these, you know, top-rated reviewers picked up on. But as far as everything I've seen on these lists, this is the one that just screamed out, no, they got this wrong. So I'd highly recommend giving this one a chance, regardless of its 8% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, by the way, this was a Joel Schumacher film.
Was it?
Yeah, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's the guy who did Batman and Robin, which is one of the worst movies ever.
He did Batman Forever as well, though.
Exactly. Yeah, but Batman and Robin's one of the worst films ever.
All right, so my next one is got a 1% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
And it's not good. It is not good. But it has some memorable things about it that I think are okay. And I like Dana Carvey, so my next one is Master of Disguise.
You took the one that was going to be my ridiculous one. Nice.
I don't remember hating it. I guess I was in, like, what, we were in middle school when it came out, I guess. So, I mean, that might factor into some of it.
Yeah, it came out 2003.
Turtle. That thing, it might not turtly enough for the Turtle Club. That'll always be stuck in my head. So
I always get the, this is what you're doing right now. This is what I want you to do. Like, that's...
See, there's things in it that we remember. So if we remember
that makes it a good movie,
that makes it way more deserving of something higher than 1%.
I agree.
So, I think that it deserves one of the it's okay ripes instead of it's okay rottens, maybe. At least more than it got.
1%. I would have given it a,
yeah, that's so low for this, right?
I 100% agree. I think,
and I get it, it was just a vehicle for Dana Carvey to do what he does best.
Exactly. It's 100% Dana Carvey doing impressions. It's definitely an extended SNL skit, which some of those have worked. Wayne's World, some have not worked. You know, most of the other ones.
Pat.
Yeah. Not awesome. Speaking of Superstar. But this one, I had fun with it. I thought it was, Dana Carvey is good. I mean, I thought he was really funny.
I mean, he's one of the best impressionists ever. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, maybe people went into it thinking, oh, Dana Carvey is the best impressionist ever. This movie's going to be great. And then it was horrible.
Maybe.
But I think this has a lot to do with maybe, I mean, it's a kid's movie. It's not
true.
It's not supposed to be something for adults. And I think a lot of adults went in thinking about Dana Carvey, the SNL guy, and maybe had too high of expectations for a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, we're not the only kids that saw this movie and liked it.
Yeah, I legitimately liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I'd probably see it again. You know, I might have to fast forward through some of the kind of like lovey-dovey stuff. But, I mean, again, it's an extended SNL skit, and I'm fine with that because he was part of the group of SNL legends that I grew up on, you know, so I'm
right.
I'm all for it. I'm glad that you picked it because I was going to say it next. And the only negatives I can say really are, I mean, the actual relationships between him and the co-star, which is Jennifer Esposito.
Yeah.
Not fantastic. James Brolin's in this movie. That's interesting.
Is he?
Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, coming off the heels of, again, Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2, it's a giant departure. It's a big letdown if that's in the back of your head. But again, compared to other, you know, SNL characters trying, I mean, they've done better recently, I think, if you really go over the list of SNL characters trying to do solo movies. But this was definitely in an era when most of them bombed. And this one, I didn't think it was this bad, so.
I didn't think it was that bad either. As a kid's movie, I wouldn't mind, like, if my kid was like, I don't have a kid, but in the future when I have a kid, if he's like, hey, Dad, I want to watch Master of Disguise, I wouldn't be like, fuck you. Like, you know, I'd be like, okay,
yeah, I mean, let's watch Master of Disguise. You would say fuck you to your kid in other instances, because that's the kind of dad you are.
If they wanted to watch The Room by Tom, I don't know his name.
Tommy Wiseau.
I'd probably be like, fuck you.
Have you seen The Room?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, good. It's great.
I would probably be like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, let's watch it. I'm going to grab a beer.
You're six. You're ready for this.
Yeah, wait a minute. That's completely wrong. The Room has two very explicit sex scenes, which prominently show a gross white man's butt, like a lot. So 6 years old, probably a little early to see The Room. Yeah, that's the kind of movie. That's the kind of movie that you have to watch because it's so bad. It's good.
Right. There's definitely movies that are, they're so terrible. They're fun. I didn't put any of those on this list because I don't think that's what we were going for.
It wasn't. I put one because it's so bad. I mean, The Room has, I don't know, parts of it. You go, okay, I can see that there's like some acting in it. A lot of it's bad, like the set design, everything that is terrible. This is one movie that is so bad that I've watched it multiple times with different people and just had too much fun. And that's Mac and Me.
I've never seen Mac and Me.
You can watch it all on YouTube.
I've seen the clip that Paul Rudd plays every time he's on Conan, but that is the only thing I've seen with Mac and Me.
Is that the one where the kid's flying down in the wheelchair?
On his wheelchair, yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what movie he's promoting. He always shows the clip from Mac and Me. And he showed it like six times when he was doing Ant-Man or something.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So Mac and Me, if you don't know, is a 1,000,000% ripoff of E.T. It's somewhat sponsored by McDonald's. McDonald's has claimed that it's not, although they did get money from it, and then they said that that money went to the Ronald McDonald House, so good for that. But the movie is so hilariously funny because your main character isn't riding on a bicycle. He's unfortunately paralyzed and stuck to a wheelchair, which is not funny, but they found a way to make me laugh because this kid barrels down a mountain chasing after something, I guess. And I mean, just
if you've ever seen Paul Rudd on Conan, you have seen this clip many times.
You need to just watch the trailer for it, because the trailer on YouTube, I think the original one, is actually introduced by Ronald McDonald, which again, I don't know how they're claiming that they're not 100% sponsoring this movie, but they tried. I think it was just because it was so bad. There is a prominent dance scene, which if you have not seen it, Jake, I will send it to you after this, I promise, where a kid's birthday party is taking place at a McDonald's, you know, as most people do. And there is a very choreographed multi-stage dance scene between all walks of life, including Mac, who is an alien. I can't even go into it because we could do a whole episode on Mac and Me. The point is, it's a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I will admit it does deserve, but that does not mean you shouldn't watch it. You should 100% enjoy this movie for what it is. It is complete garbage. And if you watch it and don't at least smile, then something's wrong with your brain. So that's right, that's my one complete garbage, just, you know, ridiculous movie.
I'm totally gonna drunk watch this very soon.
You and your girlfriend should definitely watch it.
My second to last one, penultimate. Okay. One, Problem Child. Did you ever see that little redhead kid that just fucks everything up?
Is the cover of the poster him like holding his parents upside down?
I don't know. Let's find out. Sounds right.
I think it is.
Yes.
Awesome. No, I have not seen this.
It has John Ritter in it.
Okay.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh boy.
I used to really, really like that movie. Problem Child? Yeah. And I think a big part of it was we used to like say my brother was the problem child because he used to get into a lot of things. Yeah, he used to, when he was a kid, he just did the most hilarious things. He would like, we called him shaving with butter one time, and he just had butter all over the walls. It was amazing.
Did it smell great?
I don't remember. But yeah, so I used to really like that movie. It's definitely a kid's movie. It's not probably meant for adults, but it's just about a little kid that fucks everything up just because he likes to do bad things. He likes to do hood rat things with his friends mostly.
There's a picture of the character Michael Oliver, I think, plays that the main guy, and his IMDb photo is just him with a slingshot. So yeah, clearly this is what he was about.
Yeah. I don't really have that much more defense because I don't remember much about this movie at all. I just remember liking it when I was a kid, like a lot.
There's a problem child too, in case you didn't
I have seen that.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
It's also probably lower rated than this one. This one was 4%. The first one.
Well, sequels, I mean, it's hard to really...
I'm going to have to look up the audience rating because it can't be... Why would they have made a sequel if it was this bad, you know?
I don't... Well, the question is, so it was in 90... Okay, so the sequel was in 91. It has a 40%
user rating.
When was Problem Child 1? It was...
The sequel is actually 7%. Also, turns out these movies... The second one was also PG-13, so maybe it wasn't for kids.
Whoa.
But there's a girl problem child in the second one, and they're competing for who's the most awful, basically.
In the second one. Maybe the maybe the dad finally snaps and cusses out the kid. So the original came out in 1990, so this was after Three's Company. When did Three's Company come out?
I don't know. Yeah. I was 1 year old, John Ritter. So I guess my mom must have liked it enough to have me watch it.
Once Three's Company was way before this. So John Ritter,
that's from like the 70s.
I mean, yeah, I don't know why I thought. Hey, okay, time doesn't really make sense to me. Don't try to get mad at me about this.
Okay,
what's your last one? Because I'm out.
Problem child. Okay, my last one. I was saving this one for last because it's gonna make me go on a tirade.
For a little while. I'm so glad I didn't say it then.
Well, I would have just started my tirade earlier. The Big Green. Do you remember this child sports movie?
Yeah, I didn't know it was so low rated.
Right? As a kid, I really liked The Big Green. 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
0%. That can't be right. It is. Look it up. I'll wait.
I will look it up. I'm going to do it right now. Hold on. The Big... How do you spell green?
I don't remember. I can't read.
0%. What the hell?
0%.
So this was basically a movie that was trying to capitalize on The Sandlot, right?
Probably, but even still, like,
had to have been.
This is a kid's movie, like a kid's sports movie, and this is where my tirade
from the creators of Angels in the Outfield.
I don't want to know what the score on. I should have added that to my list. So actually we need to, because this begins my tirade on how poorly kids sports movies are rated on Rotten Tomatoes.
Because they're rated by non-kids who play sports. Don't play sports.
Let's start with Angels in the Outfield while we're here. That's a 35. Okay. So not the worst ever, but not good.
That movie is fantastic.
It is, and also so is The Sandlot, which was a rotten 57%. Fuck whoever gave that a negative review. Sandlot's a masterpiece.
I agree.
Little Giants, which is my favorite kid sports movie of all time, 40%. I still to this day quote so many lines from this movie. Just out of nowhere, I really like to go, Giants, Giants, help us, God.
Us, God.
And I often say when I'm in a difficult situation that that's it. I'm leaving the country. I'm going to New Mexico.
Funny enough, I always think of fuck you guys, I'm going home. But I don't think that's the same movie.
Nope, different movie. Also, I can't tell you how many times in flag football in college did we run the pitch to Johnny. You can't pitch to Johnny. I'm Johnny. Little Giants was great.
I agree.
I'm not done. This is where my tirade really begins.
Oh,
Mighty Ducks 1 is 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
Mighty Ducks 1 is amazing. Even better is Mighty Ducks 2, which only got 21%. And what really pisses me off is the worst of all of the Mighty Duck films. Mighty Ducks 3 got 20%. How in the fuck did Mighty Ducks 3 get a better rating than Mighty Ducks 1, which is one of the classic kids' films of all time?
Which one had the knuckle puck?
That was Mighty Ducks 2, which I agree is the best one. But
yeah,
Mighty Ducks 1 is amazing. It's where I learned the word bastard, which is the reason I got my mouth washed out with soap for the first time ever. Was as a kid, I still to this day will defend my right to call this kid a bastard because he pushed my sister and he deserved it. And then my mom washed my mouth out with soap. And then I got her back because I threw up in her sink.
She had to clean it up. I thought you were going to say because he didn't have a father and you were just an asshole.
No, I learned bastard from Mighty Ducks and I called him one.
Good for you.
But why are kids' sports movies so... From the 90s. Kids' sports movies from the 90s. So poorly regarded on Rotten Tomatoes by critics. Fuck all those critics.
I don't know, but I want to know what Rookie of the Year was.
Oh, I need to look up Little Big League while we're at it.
Rookie of the Year, 39%. That's not the worst.
Still not good.
But, I mean, come on.
Little Big
League
is...
It's about a kid who plays for the Cubs.
Little Big League, which is the same movie about a kid that manages... I don't remember what team. Mariners, maybe? Minnesota Twins. Also a great movie. Kids sports movies are the best sports movies. Because they don't take themselves too
seriously. Yeah, they're inspirational.
And they're amazing.
Exactly. And usually they have John Candy in them.
Yeah. Or, fuck, what's his name? Gary Busey.
Or Danny Glover.
Yeah. Or, Rick Moranis.
Yeah. Okay, so awesome. Big Green. That's the one you're talking about on this one. So you think it should be at least... Yeah, it does.
It should at least have A rating. like some percentage of someone that watched this movie should have liked it, but
because that's really... what 0% means is I hate this movie,
right? Big Green is not my favorite by any means of kids sports movies. It just made me look, I wonder what all these other kids sports movies that I fucking loved are rated on on Rotten Tomatoes, and there is not a single one that is ripe on Rotten Tomatoes. And to that I say, movie critics, go fuck yourselves.
Shame on you.
Like, become a child and then rewatch those movies.
Yeah, I
and
do kind of want
to
know what happened to them.
To this day that Little Giants is a great movie. And the best player is a girl. It's perfect for, like, issues with gender that are, like, women being underrepresented. Underrepresented. In film, the best player is a female, and she's awesome. Yeah. Icebox.
Nowadays, we'd call that Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Little Giants was perfect. It was great.
All right, we're going to finish this real quick by saying that Heavyweights, 29%. Also too low.
What?
Exactly.
Okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to lose my shit. And
we're done.
There's no one even I can complain to about this. Who do I send in my comments?
I don't know, but here's the thing. If you have any comments on this, the listener, please write us in at our email, which is mediaguidepod@gmail.com. You can tweet us anytime at mediaguidepod and find all of our episodes and news on our website, which is mediaguidepodcast.com. So we'd love to hear if you guys love any movies that critics out there just hate and you don't understand why, like us. Like maybe you like Pluto Nash. Maybe you like one of the many kids movies that are just getting shit on by Dan from New Jersey, who's clearly an asshole and had no childhood. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's topic. We try to end each episode with a couple questions from listeners like you. So these are a couple emails we've gotten recently. I got a couple here. I want to try to find the best ones. I like this one a lot. We talked a lot about movies, so I'm going to switch completely from that genre to video games. This is from Tokyo Dave. What is your favorite video game villain? And then he says, or more broadly, what makes a good video game villain?
You go first. I got to think about this.
All right. I don't know if he's my favorite, but it kind of goes with the second part of his question. Like, what makes a good video game villain? I like villains that are totally different from your protagonist. So I can't stand, like, I think Zelda did it, Metroid did it, like the dark version of your character, like the shadow, the evil. And then I think Scott Pilgrim versus the World poked fun at this, which was very funny. So I think like the classic Bowser is probably one of my favorites, because you got this crazy protagonist in Mario. You've got just an evil enemy who is pretty simple, stealing a princess, taking him to his castle. And then you have to fight him. I mean, I think it's pretty simple. And what makes him a good villain is it's not like Wario, which is the opposite of Mario. Like, I don't want that. That's lazy, in my opinion. But instead, you have this giant dinosaur turtle spike shell guy, which, like, where did that come from? Like, it's unique. I like that.
I'm going to go with Gary from Pokemon.
Okay.
Or as I named him, Assface.
Don't you love that in the beginning of that?
What kind of asshole automatically picks the Pokemon that can defeat your Pokemon? What a dick.
Don't you love that in the beginning of the game, Professor Oak's like, and this is my nephew. His name is... Oh, wait, I forgot his name. And ask you what his name is. So what are you supposed to name him?
Well, I think his name was Assface.
Oh, that's right. It was Assface. Okay.
He's not technically the villain in Pokemon, but he's always causing shit and being inconvenient and always having Pokemon that can defeat your Pokemon like an asshole.
Who is the villain in Pokemon? PETA?
PETA? Okay, I get it. No, probably, I guess Team Rocket. Oh, Giovanni, yeah. The last gym leader.
True, true.
And then the Elite Five.
I never finished Pokemon, I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was never very good at that game.
What?
I wasn't good. It was actually one of the games I'm not good at.
What? Holy shit, dude.
I've talked to people who have beaten it like 20 times, and I'm like, yeah, I got lost in the woods or a cave or something, and I got pissed, and I stopped playing.
I did. It took me... I had to go with a technique where you save the game right before you fight Mewtwo, so that if you don't get him your first time... Because I wasted my Master Ball on, like... I didn't know it was the only one I could ever get.
You wasted him on a...
I wasted it on like a fucking Pidgey or something. And so I get to Mewtwo and all I have is like Ultra Balls. And so I had to save and quit and save and quit probably 400 times before I finally caught Mewtwo.
Good for you. You got maybe Mewtwo.
The Master Ball is the villain. Because they don't tell you it's the only one.
How about, okay, real quick, I just wanted to, so the listeners know, you saw what we discussed last week in the news about the new Pokemon Go. What do you think?
I think it looks fucking incredible, and yeah. I'm going to buy it.
It looks great.
And I'm going to go to all the events where I get to fight a large Pokemon with a bunch of my peers.
In the middle of Times Square, having the best fucking time ever. That's all I can think of. That's
amazing.
Okay.
I still want Pokemon Snap to come to life.
I agree.
But this looks fucking sweet.
I still might download an emulator for that on my computer.
I haven't played a Pokemon game since like fifth grade, but I am so in on this. It's not even funny.
Yeah, it looks good. And we're in our mid-20s and we're saying that.
Fucking right we are.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to wear that fucking thing to work. And if a Pokemon shows up in my cubicle, I'm going to catch the shit out of that thing.
And you're going to disrupt. My boss is going to deal with it. What if it's in your boss's office?
What are you doing? There's a fucking Pikachu in my cubicle and he has to be caught.
There's a Snorlax hiding behind your chair. I'm going to help you out. No one
can get past this wall because there's a Snorlax.
Perfect. So one other villain that came to mind while we were talking that is probably modern day my favorite is GLaDOS. From Portal, because she again is very opposite from you. She's a smart Alec. She's just dry. She's dry rope basically wants you to find a way to kill yourself, and it's great. So the whole game she's making you laugh while trying to kill you, and that's my favorite kind of villain, I guess.
Okay,
yeah, so that's my favorite. Listeners, if you have a favorite kind of villain, feel free to let us know, because those are just a couple examples. Let me find another one real quick. I'll try to go back to movies for a second. Okay, so this is from Funny Billy Pro. What is your opinion of the most miscast superhero?
Most miscast superhero. Well, shit. Clooney as Batman was pretty rough.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That was pretty bad.
Are we surprised that he still has a career?
I think he's surprised he still has a career after that. He bashes that shit almost every opportunity he gets.
He really does.
Most miscast villain of all time was probably Topher Grace as Venom.
Okay, good call. I'm trying to think of superheroes, though.
Superheroes. Marvel's done, has been pretty spot on.
Yeah, I want to say, like, Green Lantern is Ryan Reynolds, but that's not even really his fault, I think.
I mean, it was a bad movie. I wouldn't say it's miscast.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about in the future we want to do best cast, like perfect casting. We've talked,
I really Wolverine think Jamie great. Bell is the thing, and the
that was going to be my real.
That was really bad, and I didn't like Miles Teller as Mr. Fantastic either.
Jamie Bell,
but
though, it's
but
so
they
recent.
Went with a young cast, so I mean, but Jamie Bell is the thing. I don't dislike Jamie Bell. I think he's a good actor, and some things I've seen him in. I don't.
Jessica Alba. I mean, a lot of Fantastic Four period is miscast.
Yeah. Michael Chiklis, I think, was perfect for the thing.
Marvel Cinematic Universe recently has nailed it.
That's pretty spot on.
Yeah, I have to go like back. I mean, Tobey Maguire maybe as the original Spider-Man wasn't perfect if you really think about it.
I don't love Tobey Maguire, but I mean, it's hard to argue. Like,
I don't think
those
I even
movies
knew who
were
he
so
was
successful. I didn't either, but I don't particularly like him, but Seth Rogen as the Green Hornet. I know nothing about the Green Hornet, but
he probably didn't look like Seth Rogen. Well, I don't know. Kato was like perfect though. Who's his sidekick? Cause it was originally done by Jet Li.
Was it?
No, not Jet Li. No, it was Jet Li in this movie. It was originally done by.
No, Jet Li was not in this movie.
Who was in this movie?
I'm gonna have to look it up now. I promise you, it wasn't Jet Li.
Was Bruce Lee in the original?
Possibly.
That's what I was trying to say. Sorry. Jet Li was not in the.
Yes, it was Bruce Lee in the original TV show.
I got my Lees mixed up. My apologies.
In the movie, it is Jay Chou.
Everybody's favorite.
Is in The Interview.
Okay.
He's That's pretty much, he seems to be mostly in Asian films. He's going to be in Now You See Me, the second act. So apparently they're making a Now You See Me sequel.
Okay.
With Harry fucking Potter in it. Holy shit. Okay, I'm going to save this.
News preview for next week.
We don't have time for this topic. We are going to talk about this next week.
That's fine. And you know what? I kind of zoned out, so I didn't hear it.
Okay, good.
I'm quickly just thinking, okay, Nick Cage is Ghost Rider.
Okay, yeah, that was rough.
That's not really good. I mean, I don't really know what's his name? It's not Johnny Storm, but it's something. Isn't his name something Storm and his
Johnny boy? Cage.
You're right. I'm sorry. Johnny Cage. Shit. Tommy Lee Jones.
It's like something
Two-Face.
Blaze or something.
Oh, Johnny Blaze. His name's Johnny Blaze. You're right. Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face. I don't think that was really his fault as much as the direction he took him.
Bad.
No. I think, by the way, Jim Carrey's The Riddler I thought was really good.
That's about as perfect as you can get.
Yeah. You know, I think I just found this on the internet, so I have to kind of give it its credit. Catwoman, Halle Berry.
Michelle Pfeiffer was awesome, though.
She was fantastic. I recently watched Batman Returns, and it's great. But
yeah,
Halle Berry as Catwoman is not very good.
That movie was just so bad. She could have been good, maybe, in a better movie. I mean,
you think?
It's hard to say that miscasting is the reason why some of these terrible movies are terrible, because it's not. But I don't know. I do think Halle Berry's a little overrated as an actress, because I really did not like her in something I saw recently. I can't remember.
Amazing.
Yep. This is the hard-hitting conversation you get when you come to the media guide.
How about Robin in either Batman movie?
No, he's awesome. Chris O'Donnell is Robin. He will forever be Robin. I realize
like
that Robin's
30.
Supposed to be way younger, but
well, how about Robin in The Dark Knight Returns or Rises?
I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt would have been a good casting if they actually made a Robin.
Okay,
because like who's gonna let a fucking like 13-year-old go fight crime, you know?
Me, because I don't.
They were gonna have to age up that character.
I guess, but geez, here's the thing: in the Batman animated series, they aged up Robin to college years, and it made sense. They got away from like the kind of weirdly homoerotic Batman Robin that like it was a crazy thing that was happening in like the 60s.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt can still play college years,
but they didn't do that. They went with
But he could.
Yeah, I okay, fine.
Because he's got a baby face for sure.
So that was a direction too. All right, well, those are just the ones that I kind of was thinking about. Like I said, I hope in a few weeks we can do best casting, because that's way more fun and it makes me happy. We've talked about a lot of bad movies this week, and in previous weeks we've kind of been bashing some stuff, so I want to get happy. And
yeah,
talking about Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, is that's a way to get me happy.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else you want to go back on this week? Talk about?
No, I'm saving Now You See Me, the second act, for next week.
Yeah, I didn't hear that, so I will act surprised.
Yeah, that's going to be fun for me.
It'll be fun for everybody, Jake.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
You know what else is going to be fun? Why don't you tell everybody where they can find us one more time?
They can find us on Twitter, @MediaGuidePod. We're slowly growing our followers on there. You can find us on email, mediaguidepod@gmail.com, or on our website, mediaguidepodcast.com. And I still haven't created a Facebook, but maybe by the time you hear this, I will. So let's go with the Media Guide on Facebook.
Yeah, or maybe not. And if that's the case and you just want to download more episodes of the Media Guide, you can find us on iTunes, and you can now find us on Stitcher. So if you're not an Apple-friendly person, then that's the best way to find us. So until next week, when we'll be doing the following week's news, my name is Ashton, that's Jake, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Ooh.